one of the favorite fiction characters that first appeared in comics in 1939 and then was produced in a good number of films is the character of Batman. His secret identity, Bruce Wayne, and since then has become the most famous citizen of the fictional city of Gotham. A year after his first appearance in comics, the authors of Batman created the character of Robin. According to the author, they needed to soften Batman's character by giving him a young sidekick with whom Batman will not only do his crusade, but one he can talk with and will be his friend and confidant. Sales nearly doubled as a result. Well, that shows why even fiction characters need friends and confidants. Now, if Paul were the New Testament's Batman character, his Robin confidant would definitely be Timothy. Kung maihambing natin si Pablo kay Batman, ang kanyang magiging sidekick na Robin ay walang iba kundi si Timothy. And we began this series of those people that touched the life of Paul. They are part of his story. There are lessons from their lives. And we are drawing the lessons that remain relevant to the ministry and mission of the church today. There is no more Apostle Paul in the church. Indeed, no more apostolic office. But the ministry and mission of the word perpetuate. Wala nang mga apostol ngayon. Wala nang Pablo para sa iglesia. Ngunit ang ministeryo at misyon ng salita ay nagpapatuloy. Kaya patuloy rin tayo makakakuha ng mga aral, mga prinsipyo mula sa mga tao na kinasangkapan sa buhay ni Pablo, naging kasama niya, naging katambal niya sa iba't ibang mga larangan ng kanyang ministeryo at pagiging misyoneryo. What sort of people touched and contributed to the ministry and mission of Paul? And they are still needed in the church today. There may be no more Paul in terms of apostolicity, yet there can still be a Priscilla and an Aquila. Christian availability, we learn from them, is a precious favor for the ministry of the church. We can still have a Silas in terms of willingness to suffer as the call to commit of commitment to ministry. And last week from Luke, the beloved physician, we learned that persevering company provides strength for ministry. What can we learn from Timothy? And why did Paul take such a fondness for this young man? Again, bear with me as we go to several short passages. First is Acts 16, verses 1 to 5. Acts 16, verses 1 to 5. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Turn next to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll read from verse 19 to verse 24. Philippians 2, 19 to 24. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. They all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Next is 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. First Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. Our last passage is 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 3 to 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 3 to 8. I thank God whom I serve as I did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now, Timothy was born in Lystra in Asia Minor to a Greek father and a Jewish mother, Eunice. Doon siya isinilang sa Lystra. Hati ang lahi ng kanyang mga magulang, Griego ang kanyang ama, kaya't maaari nating maipalagay na siya'y pagano. Ngunit ang kanyang ina ay isang Hudyo, at maipapalagay din natin na inilipat o isinalin ng kanyang ina ang pananampalatayang Hudyo sa kanya. He, his mother, and grandmother Lois probably became Christians during Paul's first missionary journey. And when Paul returned a year later to Lystra, he invited Timothy to join him and Silas. And this indicates a very deep confidence in the young man. He would send Timothy, in fact, as an emissary to Thessalonica, to Corinth, to Ephesus, and as we have read, to Philippi. Kapag merong mga krisis sa mga iglesia ngayon, kung hindi man si Tito ang kanyang pinapadalang mas madalas, ay itong si Timoteo. And here you see the confidence of Paul when he could not himself visit a church under his care in order to address issues in that church, he would send Timothy. And again, this is confidence. He earned Paul's confidence. And there is a description Paul used of Timothy that probably summarizes why he became his trusted confidant. And this is my message: genuine concern for the brethren. Genuine concern for the brethren produces confidence of ministry. Ang tunay na pagmamalasakit para sa kapatiran ay namumunga ng kumpiyansa ng ministeryo. Genuine concern for the brethren produces confidence of ministry. Paul himself must have enjoyed many occasions that he was at the receiving end of such care from Timothy. And so when he thought of who to send when crisis broke out in his churches, it was Timothy first he thought of sending. And we still need such Timothys in our churches. We still need such friends, confidants for the ministries of the church. And what are we to expect of such confidants of ministry? Well, three things that we can see in Timothy. First, serving beyond necessity. Naglilingkod siya ng higit sa pangangailangan, serving beyond necessity. Second, going against majority. Sumasalungat siya sa nakararami kung kinakailangan. Going against majority. And thirdly, pressing despite timidity. Nagpipilit sa kabila ng pangingimi. Pressing despite timidity. So in these three ways, Timothy stands out among the people whom Paul trusted. We can say that Timothy was his confidant. First, because we see Timothy serving beyond necessity. Yung paglilingkod niya, hindi lang kung ano yung kailangan ibigay, lumalampas siya sa pangangailangan. One of the first acts that Paul asks Timothy to undertake is to be circumcised as a Jew and for the sake of Jews. Now remember that Timothy was born in Lystra, a Gentile city. He grew up there and he could have refused. It was not necessary. He could argue that he was more Gentile than Jew since his father was Greek. That makes Timothy formally more Greek than Jew. But what do we see in Timothy? What we see is that genuine concern does not limit itself to the necessary minimum. Kung merong tunay na pagmamalasakit, hindi mo lilimitahan ang sarili mo sa kung ano lang ang kailangan gawin. As it turned out, in fact, most of Timothy's ministry will be among Gentiles. Jews were a minority in the churches to which he was sent. He could have reasoned that the people Paul is seeking to please with his circumcision were negligible. They were a negligible minority. But you see, that is exactly what genuine concern will not think. That there are people who are negligible. Hindi iisipin ang tunay na pagmamalasakit na may mga taong wag nang pansinin, wag nang pahalagahan. That's not Timothy's thinking. So even if the Jews are a small minority in the churches and in mission fields, if circumcision will reach out to them more effectively, then Timothy had himself circumcised. This caring for those thought to be negligible and unimportant is rooted in the very gospel we preach. You remember what Paul said of our salvation in 1 Corinthians 1:26 following, "Consider your calling, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Isinasabi nito ng Ebanghelyo ay umaabot sa pinakamababa para sa lipunan, hindi inangkin ng Diyos na may mga taong hindi na kailangang pag-aksayahan ng panahon. Ganyan ang Ebanghelyo. Ang sinasabi sa atin ng Ebanghelyo, ano ka man sa lipunan, ano man ang kanilang pagpapahalaga sa iyo o walang pagpapahalaga, ang Ebanghelyo ay nagsasabing inaabot nito lahat ng uri. Ang mga hindi pinapahalagahan sa mundo, tiningnan ng Diyos. Ganyan ang Ebanghelyo. And if that is the gospel we bear, if that is the gospel we try to minister to people, then who are we to think of negligible? Timothy personifies this in his dealing with people, including the negligible Jews, at least in the eyes of others, and other types that others may not spend any time thinking of. It was not necessary for him to be circumcised, but if by doing so he can gain their hearing, then let it be. And this is the spirit of a Timothy, the spirit of genuine concern, not limited by the minimum that is considered necessary. Genuine care breaks the boundaries of necessity and stretches service to what more can be done. Tingnan yung kampanya ngayon ng mga politiko. Wala silang pinapalampas. Yung mga dati hindi nila iniisip na puntahan, ay kahit pa mga squatter area yan, guguguri nila. Dahil lang sa kagustuhan nilang iboto, personal interest pa rin. Pagkatapos na maiboto sila, ilang taong kakalimutan, hindi ganun ang Kristiyanong pagmamalasakit. And my challenge, let me put by way of question, what necessity is limiting your service to a minimum? Anong pangangailangan ang siyang nagiging dahilan na malimitahan ang iyong paglilingkod sa pinakamababa? The mentality of necessity or necessary minimum can burden any area of Christian duty and service. Church attendance can be burdened with this. Some define their necessity as Sunday morning, tapos na. It burdens the giving of offering. Whether the necessity is defined as the tithes or less, there will be no liberality when we are defined, when we are saddled with the spirit of necessary minimum. And in fellowship, the necessary minimum of some is simply saying hi, and perhaps the handshake is quite extra, but no probing that deepens the bond. And in the means of grace, such as devotion and prayer, what might have we place as our minimum? 5-minute prayer in the morning? A devotion of quick reading? Perhaps none at all. Do not expect robust spiritual growth where our means are limited to the minimum. But it is in ministry that the mentality of necessary minimum can break confidence. What this mentality says as a slogan is just enough. Tama na. Yung sapat lang. Yan ang kanyang pag-iisip. Whereas for a Timothy, instead of just enough, he asks, what more? What more can be done? What more for that brother or sister? What more for that child, perhaps in your class or Bible study? What more for that person in your ministry? Yesterday, April 27, was the birth anniversary of John Stott, who was born in 1921 and died 2 years ago. Here is the story of a man who definitely was not saddled with the spirit of necessary minimum. He gave it all. And many were rich because of his ministry. He was a Timothy. He served beyond necessity. And for you, what could be that necessity which is limiting you? Break it and be a Timothy. The second thing we can learn of Timothy is going against majority. Siya'y sumasalungat sa nakararami. Now, because Paul described Timothy in terms of genuine care, it is easy to mistake that Timothy was therefore a compromising people person. Yan ang isip natin kapag mapagmalasakit, eh hindi makapanindigan, bigay lang ng bigay kung anong gusto ng mga tao, but hindi ganyan si Timothy. The mission that Paul gave him, for example, to undertake in Ephesus, as we read, is to charge some not to teach other doctrine. It meant the exercise of authority, firm authority. And in describing his genuine care to the Philippians, This is what Paul said, I have no one like-minded. All seek their own interests. Amidst the team of believers, Timothy stands out above the majority because of that genuine care. And here we learn that genuine concern will stand out above the average indifference of the majority. Kung meron tayong tunay na pagmamalasakit, mangingibabaw iyan sa nakararaming walang pagmamalasakit. Now, let me clarify that Paul is not charging his other companions of living in sin. They were simply described in terms of what is average. The comparison is their concern for the brethren. The average is to think of one's interest first, and then perhaps of the brethren. The majority may think of the concern of the brethren, but only after their own. Yan ang sinasabi rito ni Pablo. Hindi niya sinasabing wala silang malasakit, kundi yung kanilang malasakit, una muna yung sarili, bago isipin ang iba. At dyan nangingibabaw si Timoteo, the natural inclination, that is why it is average, is think me first, and then perhaps others. And this is where Timothy stands out. He thought of others as a matter of first concern. And that genuineness of concern is not something that someone asserts by himself. It is proved by others impacted by it. Hindi ikaw magsasabi na meron akong genuine concern. Pag sinabi mo yan sa akin, hindi ako maniniwala sa iyo. That genuine concern is observed by those impacted by your life. The only other place where this word genuine is used in the New Testament is 2 Corinthians 8:8, where Paul challenges the Corinthian believers in their giving. He said, to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is genuine. So here it's others who judge. It's others who feel impacted by concern. And as we read in Acts 16, the earliest description of Luke, by Luke of Timothy, is that he was well spoken of by the brethren at Lystra and Iconium. So it is not Timothy announcing to the world that he has genuine concern. It is just felt by others when Timothy was around that he was concerned. A work of art does not proclaim itself. Its display is to be commented on by spectators. And that's what genuine concern is. It is others who feel it, who are impacted by it. Again, let me put it by way of question in challenging you. What average is hindering your impact on the people you serve? What average is hindering? Anong nakakahadlang sa iyong dating sa mga tao na iyong pinaglilingkuran dahil masaya ka na sa sapat na? Where the mentality of the minimum says just enough, the average mentality is just like most. But think of what Timothy has done. Do you profit from the Corinthian correspondence, meaning first and second letters to the Corinthians? I don't know how to answer many issues today without the Corinthian correspondence. But remember, or what about the Thessalonian correspondence? The Philippian letter, do you profit from them? Well, it is not only because of Paul who wrote them, it was because of a Timothy who refused to be just like most. He went beyond average. Genuine care means standing up to people when they are wrong, such as false teachers in Ephesus. So by going against the majority, I am not encouraging anyone to have the tag of being an oppositionist. We do not relish the annoying presence of anyone who always opposes anything. But we want that kind of concern. We just sang, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Do you really marvel at such love? Should there not be some spillover on others? That means stand above average attachments. In C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters, as I always remind you, the letters of a senior demon to a junior demon, how to make Christians inferior or not to mature. And in one of the letters, the major project that Screwtape proposed to the junior demon is develop attachment to earth. Yung kliyente mo ay gawin mong ang kanyang attachment, ang kanyang pagkaakit ay mga bagay ng mundo. And makikita mo, hindi niya makikita ang mga pangangailangan ng kapatiran, wala siyang timbang sa mga hinaing ng iglesia, kung ang kanyang attachment is to the earth. And that is, and by that, Lewis is revealing one of the major hindrances for genuine concern in the church. Attachment to earth, being average. But finally, we see here Timothy pressing despite timidity. Paul's last letter, 2 Timothy, indicates the struggle of Timothy over his timid personality. He had personal fears. Perhaps his youth was a factor. Remember Paul exhorting him, let no man despise your youth, but be an example. And then you add physical frailty. in 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul tells Timothy, use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. So here was a man who struggled with his young age amidst perhaps imposing adults, and he struggled with physical frailty. No wonder, he was a timid personality. Nangingimi siya. Maring kita yung kanyang kahinaan, karupukang pangangatawan. But for all that, what we see here is how genuine concern will overcome the weaknesses of personality. I'm always glad when Scripture lays open the weaknesses of its heroes. That we learn that this man, like Elijah, was a man of like passion as we are. Timothy was not a super personality with imposing presence that others deferred to. He was a diffident person, but he cared. He just cared genuinely. And where you care genuinely, even though inside you feel the fear, you will press yourself to minister. One of the memorable games in the NBA history was when Jordan led the Bulls to victory over my preferred team, Utah Jazz, in a finals match. And what made that memorable was that Jordan that night was nursing a fever. But when he saw that his presence was needed, he gave it all. And at the end of the game, it was seen that Jordan was being carried by his teammates and tongued out because of complete exhaustion. And that's just basketball game. Perhaps fame. How much more the kingdom of God? We should need these Timothys who by their genuine care will press no matter the diffidence, the timidity of personality. Again, my question, what personality weakness is becoming an excuse for not pressing on? Anong kahinaang pangpersonalidad ang nagiging katwiran natin para huwag magpumilit sa paglilingkod? Minimum mentality says just enough. Average mentality says just like most. Personality mentality says that's me. It is a mentality that dooms the potential of ministry to the shallow and surface impacts. Walang lalim, walang mabisang dating. Kung mananatili tayong nangangatwirang ganito ako talaga, wala akong magagawa, itong aking personalidad. So Paul tells Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. I imagine Paul must have observed Timothy in the presence of a more imposing personality would retreat. And Paul would tell him, stir it up. Pag-alabin mo. Huwag kang bumigay ng dahil sa mga nakaharap sa'yo. Make the best of what gift you have now. And if Timothy were tempted to say, it's just me, Paul says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, you have all the investment of Christ in you to overcome personality timidity. Nasa iyo ang lahat ng pinagpuhunan ng ating Panginoon sa krus at sa kanyang pagkabuhay na muli, inilagay sa iyo ang espiritu ng pag-ibig, ng kapangyarihan, at maari mong daigin ang takot. An influential book that was a factor in Reformed resurgence in the 20th century was Dr. Lloyd-Jones' Spiritual Depression. It wasn't talking much about 5 points of Calvinism or doctrines of grace or predestination and the like. He was just challenging Christians, if you belong to Christ, there is no place for a depressive weakness that allows the opportunities to go by unseized because you excuse yourself because of personality. And again, let that be a challenge. There may be something about you, about me, that we are using as a cloak and excuse our lack of zeal, our lack of pressing on. The church needs the company of a Timothy who has weaknesses, but his care was genuine. I would rather have such men and women with weaknesses, but with genuine care, than super personalities who do not have the genuine care. And when that genuine care was in Timothy, at the last request of Paul, when he was in prison, he has sent Timothy to me. Why not the rest? Why a young man? He would need some mature counsel. Why would he ask for Timothy? Well, definitely, here was a man who has become Paul's confidant. And we need such men and women who will be confident to the ministry, because this is the kind of person who you expect will genuinely care. Let us sing our last hymn. How sweet and heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill His word. Let's close in prayer. Maraming salamat, Panginoon, sa patotoo na nababasa pa rin namin tungkol kay Timothy, at nawa ay maging hamon ang patotoong ito para sa amin. And if no less a Paul could exercise confidence and trust in Timothy, who was then a young man, then it is indeed a character. His indeed is a character that is worth emulating. Kaya tulungan mo ang bawat isa sa amin na tunay na magsikap na magkaroon ng totoong pagmamalasakit and genuine concern, is prepared to serve beyond the necessity. Deliver us, Lord, from the mentality of the necessary minimum, and deliver us from any attitude to others as being negligible. Indeed, we see in Timothy a man who was prepared to do something beyond his personal necessity so that he may reach out to those who may be deemed by others as negligible in the churches he served. And may we therefore challenge ourselves in the same way. Help us also, like Timothy, to be prepared to go against majority, the majority average, where care is only after self-interest. Grant that we may have that care which we find in the Lord Jesus when we sing, "How marvelous, how wonderful is the Savior's love for me." May there be a spillover in the way we serve others, and grant that we may learn to go, not to be satisfied with what is average, but rather strive to be able to impact on others. And grant that, like Timothy, may we press despite the weaknesses of our personality. Indeed, we thank you for the reality of Scripture in describing its heroes in terms of the reality of their own struggles. And Timothy struggled with his diffidence, with his timidity, with his personality weaknesses, and yet because of his genuine care, he pressed and he made such an impact that until now, every time we read the Corinthian correspondence, the Thessalonian correspondence, the Philippian letter, and the two letters of Paul to Timothy, we are reminded that they are there because of a man who genuinely cared. Grant that we may follow his footsteps because he followed his Lord. Help us, Lord, to follow our Lord in this genuine care for our brethren. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.